WNYC and Money Talking are supported by the Cy Sims Foundation since 1985, dedicated to a better life through advancements in education, scientific research, and the arts, and the Cy Sims School of Business and Executive MBA program at Yeshiva University.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. And joining me, WNYC contributors Joan O'Sara with the New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. And everyone this week is distressed about the government shutdown. There's a lot of worry that it'll have an effect on businesses and the economy. And yet the stock market really hasn't taken that much of a hit. So, Rana, there were a lot of worries we'd see a big drop, that interest rates might soar. This is even something you had talked about last week, but that hasn't happened. Are you surprised? Will this continue?
Well, I have been a little surprised, frankly. I mean, what's fascinating is that stocks were down the day or two before the shutdown, but actually the day of the shutdown, they actually rebounded, and they've basically been holding steady. I think there's two things happening. Wall Street can never quite believe that Washington is always ready to push it to the brink. There is a kind of a beltway logic that it only makes sense when you're there, and so I think that everybody's sort of waiting and not believing that this is going to go on very much longer. The other thing that's happening, and this is more material, is that the Fed is continuing to push up asset prices with its $85 billion a month money dump into the markets, which is keeping stocks high and bolstering the price of housing, which makes people feel wealthier and they hope offset some of the headwinds that are being caused by Washington.
Last year we had the sequester, as it was called, which really cut a lot of money out of various programs. And people thought that was going to crush the stock market, and it didn't. Here we are again, a second time. Now we're having a government shutdown. People thought it was going to crush the stock market, and it didn't. So in a couple of weeks, we're going to be right up against the debt limitations. We need to raise it. Everybody knows that. I think that may be the one that turns out to be real.
Is there a danger, though, that if the stock market didn't drop and that the representatives see this, the senators see this and think, well, okay, it didn't have that much of an effect on the economy, we can prolong this?
I totally think that there is. And the truth is that we have a precedent for government shutdowns. We do not have a precedent for a major sovereign default on our debt. And I think that that would be a major economic
Again,
event.
This is the issue that if we don't extend the debt ceiling by the middle of this month, that we could see something catastrophic
happens
to the economy.
That's right. The idea that we are not going to pay our creditors would be a Lehman Brothers-style event, I think.
So if investors and the stock market doesn't seem to be reacting immediately to what's happening to the shutdown, they are paying attention to a bunch of other stories that are happening. Joe, the Twitter is about to go public. How big of a deal is this?
Not since Facebook. You know,
is that a good or a bad thing?
Yeah.
Well, yes, that's question number one. Will the stock exchanges finally get this one right? You know, the Facebook IPO was botched pretty badly by NASDAQ. And so they're going to hope they get it right on Twitter. We shall see. Question number two, which is how much money are they making? We actually found out late Thursday afternoon when it discloses documents. The answer is it's not making money at all. In fact, it lost about $80 million last year. We found out some other things, too, about it. It actually is a pretty small company still. Its revenues were $253 million, which is double what it was, but it doesn't even come close to what Facebook was when it went public. And it has somewhere over 200 million average monthly users, which, again, compared to Facebook when it went public, was over 800 million. Are people going to buy this stock? Absolutely. It's Twitter, after all. But the question is, at some point, it's going to have to make some money.
Well, a company that's shrinking is Merck. They announced that they're looking to reduce its workforce by about 20% over the next 2 years. That would also include closing offices in New Jersey. Joe, what's happening on that side of the spectrum?
Well, to me, these huge layoffs, and Lord knows this is not the first pharma company to be laying off a lot of people, it signals that the business model for big pharma, which worked for two decades, is gone. It's lost. The business model used to be the Lipitor model. You come up with a drug, it's a blockbuster, everybody in the world has to take it, and it generates $10 billion a year. The new model is smaller companies coming up with niche drugs, especially in the area of cancer, that they can sell for $100,000 a year. The big pharmaceutical companies have not been able to figure out how to do that, and the real question is, will they ever?
They don't play well with others, too, and that's part of this. I mean, I think one of the points of this nimbler model that Joe's talking about is that you need groups of people from lots of different companies, organizations, government, public-private partnerships working together on these drugs, and I think that that's the kind of successful efforts that you're going to see, not these sort of single-company, big blockbuster drugs.
Well, Rana, one thing we talk a lot about here are investor activists. Trying to change the way a company runs, say Dell or Apple. And this week we learned about perhaps a surprising one. The hedge fund activist Dan Loeb is taking on Sotheby's, the art dealer and auction house. Mm. What is this about?
It's really fascinating. I mean, you know, in some ways it feels like very small potatoes compared to some of the other challenges he's taken on recently, like Sony. You know, he was trying to get them unsuccessfully to spin off their entertainment arm and focus more on their consumer electronics business. He is an art collector, so he has a personal interest, I think, in this topic. He's also known for his really scathing letters. And, you know, if some of the stuff that he's saying about Sotheby's is true, I would watch out if I was the management. The letter apparently included accusations that senior management has feasted on organic delicacies and imbibed vintage wines at a cost of multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Joe?
Yes, here's another line from the same letter. Sotheby's is like an old master painting in desperate need of restoration. he's actually arguing that part of their problem is that they don't know the modern and contemporary art market as well as he does, which is one of the many reasons he wants to be on the board.
So is this about the stock price, or is this about the fact that I know art better than you do?
It's about the stock price.
It's always about the stock price.
Well, what are the stories that you're looking ahead to in the next couple of weeks, Rana?
So I'm fascinated by how the government shutdown is going to affect the housing recovery. A number, actually most employees from the Internal Revenue Service have been furloughed, a number of them from the Federal Housing Administration as well, and this is slowing down the process of mortgage applications. So lenders cannot get information about people's taxes, their personal data. And, you know, if there's one thing we really didn't need, it was another headwind in the one area of the economy that's really been showing some robust recovery.
And Joe, what are you watching?
I'm watching Bill Gates, believe it or not. On the nonprofit side, everybody knows that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is by far the most important foundation in the world. But what people may not quite realize is that he's still the chairman of the board of Microsoft, where the CEO, Steve Ballmer, his longtime buddy, has announced that he will soon leave the company. They're searching for a new CEO. And several high-profile investors in Microsoft stock have said, well, you know, this might be the right time for Bill Gates to leave too. We need a fresh start. You know, he's wedded to the old model. And so what I'm looking to see is how long Bill Gates will remain at Microsoft.
Well, we'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. You can take this program with you as a podcast available on iTunes. Rana Fruhar with Time Magazine, Jonah Serra with The New York Times. Thanks for joining.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Herman. This is Money Talking from WNYC.